Heavenly Father, we worship you. Truly, you are the joy of our desire. And so, as we come into your presence, our desire is to please you in all that we do. And so I ask, under the authority and of the Lord Jesus and the covering of my fathers, for fresh mercy from your throne, unction under the covering of my fathers, so that I will bring forth this word in humility, in purity, in power, in clarity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, so that, Lord God, it will be a word of life, Lord, making us, Lord, in our wills, more submitted to the will of God. Our minds, Father, illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions, Father, controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Enabling us all, including myself, to be doers of the things that we learn, so we can be blessed, ready, Lord God, for all that you are set to do in our lives and our midst, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will have mercy on me. Help me to be concise and precise, redeeming the time and not saying unnecessary things, so that, Lord God, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, Lord, this word will be a word that will bring forth new things and old out of the treasure of your word, helping us to receive strength and encouragement to keep running, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 It's a great privilege yet again for me to be in God's, to bring the word. And I thank my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, for the great honor and the privilege that they've given me. And I trust God for mercy on that covering, to be faithful in the ministry of the word, so that it will bring joy to their hearts and to yours, and a building up into all of our lives and strengthening as we wait for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Mommy. The word that God built up in my heart is entitled Walking the Path to His Glory. As we all know, where the glory of God is, the manifestation of the glory of God is imminent. You know, as we wait in the upper room, you know, as it were, you know, of love and intercession, you know, and this word just dropped into my heart as I was thinking about meditating about some things Pastor has taught us, you know, about honesty, you know, and just dropped there, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to us in Jesus' name. So, walking the path to his glory. There's a path, you know, that God has prepared and that saints of old have walked through, you know. And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20, please give it to me in the Amplified version. It's a scripture that we pray every morning from the scripture on Good Morning Jesus prayer platform. Amen. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, thank you. Amplify, please. Thank you. Right. Let's read it together. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you shall. So even though he's saying he has said, he doesn't expect us to choose death. Yeah? You shall choose life, in order that you may live, you and your descendants, amen, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding closely to him, for he is your life. Now, it qualifies that. Your good life, to the degree that you hold on to him. Your abundant life, and that's where we should be going, amen. your fulfillment and the length of your days. So that tells us that the amount of life you choose or keep choosing affects the length of your days. Amen. So it's not fixed. It depends on what we do. That you may live in the land which the Lord promised, swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. All right. So I saw the word that jumped out to me was choose life. And you know, and what God was saying to me was that the choices we make are manifest in the actions that we take. Amen. All right. Whatever you choose to do, you know, we will see the choice you have made by the action that you do. Amen. All right. For example, you know, all of us have made a choice to be here in this church or to fellowship in this church. Amen. That's a choice you make. And there are many other choices that we make in life. But God is saying that behind every choice should be a choice for life. Amen. All right. Now, so more subtly now, there are heart choices. Now, we're talking about actions. But now we're talking about heart choices. Choices that we make at the heart level. You know, and it's very important. Look at Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Romans 2, 14 and 15. You know, Bible says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is right or pure. So it means that right and wrong is really at the action level. But the choice that he's making is at the heart level. So there is heart level and there is action level. Now, the place God wants us to be at, where we are always intentionally watching and making sure we choose life, is at the heart level. Amen? All right. When Gentiles who do not have the law, since it was given only to Jews, do instinctively the things. Give it to me back in the King James. Thank you. Thank you. Instinct. That's not instinct. Okay. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Amen. Next verse. Which show the work of the law, what? Written in their hearts. So somebody's writing it. The person writing it is God. Amen. And he's writing it in the heart. All right. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. What's he saying here? He's saying that the choices of the heart. Each time you make a choice in your heart, you are writing something in your heart. That's what he's saying. Something is being written. He said the work of law written in their heart. And the more you write it, the more life there is because of the choice of life that you made. Amen. All right. And it's important to therefore write the law intentionally on your heart. And don't allow through carelessness, you know, or, you know, a lack of spiritual, you know, diligence, you know, allow, you know, somebody else or allow yourself to be writing death, because there's no middle ground. It's either life or it's death based on the choices that we make. And those choices are evidently manifest. It's using the Gentiles as an example. They say by nature. That is, they've done it over and over and over. So when they do it, they are doing it by nature, so to speak. But it is not by nature, it is by the mercy of God working upon their hearts based on what they have chosen to do. They may not have done it yet. It is the fact that they've chosen it that God is looking at. Amen? All right. So we see that. Look at Proverbs 11, 27. That expansion on it. Proverbs 11, 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. You ask yourself, do people seek mischief? Well, yes, you know, but unknowingly sometimes, you know, and sometimes knowingly. It says, now, Pastor explained the scripture many years ago, and then I really understood it. He that diligently seeks to do good. He has not done it, but he is seeking to do it, or willing, amen, to do it. Because he's willing to do it, he procures favor. And the favor now helps him to do it. So the way the scripture reads, you will think that, he seeks it to God. No. He's not. It is the heart inclination. Yeah, because look at John 7:17. It's the heart inclination. That God responds to the inclination. John, you're giving me Joshua 7. John. Thank you. All right. Let's read together. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. That light there is coming from life. When he says no. Okay. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So it's the willingness to do his will that brings about the grace. And the grace brings about life. And the life brings about light in this case. But okay, so we see that look at Proverbs 11:3. The scripture is full. So when it says diligently seeking good, yes, Proverbs 11:3, give it to me in the Amplified, please. The classic one. Thank you. Amplified Classic Edition. Thank you. Right, let's read it together. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. But the willful, see, that's the word I want to bring out. Willful contrariness and crookedness of the treacherous shall destroy them. So the willingness, to be upright or to do what God asked me to do, that willingness attracts the grace of God. And that grace of God now allows us to be able to act on what we say. So we become upright. And that uprightness now takes us to God's holy hill. It puts us in God, because on God's holy hill, in Proverbs 15 verse 2, the Bible says, who will ascend? If you want to ascend, Psalm 15 verse 2, if you want to ascend to God's holy hill, it's you ascend with your heart to God's holy hill. Okay, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and what? Speaketh the truth in his heart. So that's how he ascends. Of course, there's work to be done, but the first thing is that there must be grace to do the work, and that's, it's the grace that enables him to now ascend. Amen. All right, that's how David ascended up the water spout and took Zion. All right, so let's look at an example here. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 31. Let's see an example. Jesus was giving the parable. Let's read it. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Next verse. He answered and said, I will not. Notice the word, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. Repentance is the change of the will. And then the grace now came, and he actually went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. That's very common, I go, sir. And went not. You now ask the question. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. In the sense that, the first will not become the last. Amen. But it's intentional. It's not what you say with your mouth. It's what you say with your heart. So it must be, we must be intentional. That's the essence of what I'm trying to say. We must be intentional in our choices and keep our hearts locked to the will of God before events or situations come. So by the time events or situations come, you just walk out what you had already locked in intentionally in your heart. It's very important. Look at a scripture that came to my heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. This scripture used to fox me when I was a younger Christian. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What does that mean? The second verse gives a bit more light. Next verse, okay? He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. What's he saying? If you allow what you are seeing with your physical eyes to dictate the choices you make in your heart, there are things that God wants us to respond to. We will not respond. Because you are taking your information from the wrong source. So we must be, so when he says, if the clouds be full of rain, you should make up your mind where you want to be. Anywhere God wants you to be is where you should make up your mind. Whether the clouds are there, whether the winds are there, whether the clouds, it doesn't matter. Just make up your mind, this is what I want to be, this is where I want to be, and wherever, God will take care of the rest. That's what he's saying. Otherwise, you will not sow when you need to sow to yourself in righteousness. You will not reap when you need to reap. You will not forgive. Let me give an example. When you need to forgive, because you are thinking about how it hurt and how it was deliberate and how it was intentional, you know. And God says, in spite of all of that, you have to forgive. It's a choice. It's an act of your will. And when you are willing to do that, then the grace comes. And that grace now, like a balm, begins to take away the pain and ease the pain. And then you take your eyes off, you know, all the information that is coming to your mind. Oh, yes, he said this. Oh, yes, he did this and all that. You know, and you look at what God said so that you can come out of it. All right, so that's an example. So we see this. So it's important to, because the more you choose the will of God, it's like an antenna, you know, like Pastor said. It's like an antenna. The more you choose, the more inclined you are to life. The more inclined your heart is to light. And the more you begin to pick signals from God's frequency. Amen? Very important, okay? And you become more sensitive, to the Holy Spirit. Look at Joseph in Genesis chapter 50. Verse 23 to 25. Genesis 50. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Next verse. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. Amen. And the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. This is a generational blessing. We tap into that in Jesus' name, for our fathers and for ourselves. Amen. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. So it was intentional. He knew. All right. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, which is out of this land, unto the land which we swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He's speaking information that is before his time. Next verse. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and shall carry up my bones from hence. Because God has shown him ahead of time that there's going to be a resurrection. No, Christ and the first fruit. Where you are buried will affect whether you resurrect or not. So because he had fulfilled the criteria by diligently seeking good, diligently willing good, and making the righteous, and had obeyed God, God began to show him, okay, so it's time for you to go, but to make sure that you chance, so that your bone doesn't remain here. So he was seeing ahead. You see, and that's what will happen when our wills, when we intentionally exercise our will in choosing life, in choosing life. What does it really mean to choose life? It means to put seeking God, okay, and walking with God on the highest priority of your life. That's really what it means. And as you do that, you find out that all other things fall in place. Because once you give God what is God's, then he helps you to give what is Caesar's to Caesar's. And then, you know, family can be in its place. Ministry can be in its place. Whatever else God has asked you to do, your career will be in its place. But God must be at the top of the chain. Amen. And that's how you choose life. You know, you make that. So Joseph had done that, and God was saying that this is the next thing. And it's a very encouraging thought, because it tells me that whatever God has for you, you know, you're not going to miss it. You cannot miss it. You know, this thing was ahead, but God was more concerned. Joseph didn't know. If God didn't tell him, well, something was going to happen now. It was happening when he was dead. But God went ahead to tell him so that he will make sure. It means that God is thinking about everything about you and I. Amen. And whatever is your blessing or you have coming to you, people cannot stop it. They are not big enough. David had fulfilled the criterion to be king. When he was in the wilderness with the sheep, the day they were deciding, he was not there. But he did not pass him by. He cannot pass you by, because you are dealing with an omnipresent, faithful, and just God who is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. Amen. So that labor, you know, as you labor to walk in the life of God and choose what is right and obey God by walking in love, that labor is not in vain. So you stay where God has put you. Don't be looking around and wondering. The Bible says the eyes of a fool can be in the ends of the earth. Oh, see what this person is doing. Everybody has their path. This is the path to glory. That's why we tell you this is the path to glory. Amen. All right. So that's important. All right. So as if you go back to Deuteronomy, as you choose life, you begin to see the effect of life upon you. More light. Amen. All right. More love for God and for people. Amen. But firstly, for God. All right. Yeah. Next verse. Verse 20. That you may love the Lord. That it's important to love God. His priority is to love God. Not just loving people. To love the Lord thy God. That thou mayest obey his voice. The love is shown in the obedience. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And that thou mayest cleave unto him. Okay? So we see the evidence. And that's something we can look at our lives. You know, are you loving God more? You know, is God more important to you? You know, is pleasing God on a higher priority to you than pleasing men? You know, are you more, you know, sold out? Are you more a fanatic? Because that's a fanatic, somebody that loves God more than you. Amen. Now, are you more of a fanatic? Because to love God, you love being in his presence. You love spending time with him. You know, that's there. And then more obedience. You obey from the heart. Amen. And more intimacy. It's talking about cleaving to God, for he is your life. And at the end of that, you see blessing. Because, you know, with the intimacy and fellowship with God, the Bible says, if they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity and their years in prosperity. So you see the blessing of God come. And I looked at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11. Please give it to me in the NIV. 2 Samuel 6, 11. Right. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. How many months? 3 months. This is an ark that Uzzah had just touched and was struck dead. And David said, I'm afraid of the Lord. How will I bring the ark? This ark that brought judgment upon Uzzah, brought the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. He brought blessing to Obed-Edom, the same ark. So it tells you and I that there was something Obed-Edom was doing that obviously Uzzah was not doing. It had to be, because God is not a respecter of persons. You know, so it tells you that, you know, Uzzah loved God. I beg your pardon. Obed-Edom loved God. Obed-Edom was obedient to God. Amen. Obed-Edom consecrated himself to God and with his household. So when the ark came, it naturally brought blessing. Amen. That would be our portion in Jesus' name. You know, so he didn't know it was going to come. And the king didn't ask his permission. Say, can I put it in your house? He just said, put it in the house of Obed-Edom. Amen. Brethren, it's good to be prepared. Be prepared. Let us be prepared by walking with God, so that the day the thing comes, what is causing people to be afraid will bring blessing. Amen. It was the same ark, it was the same flood that drowned the people, that raised the ark. Amen. So God is telling us that it's important to be prepared. You know, in that day when there is darkness, it is that day that people will shine. Fear of God. It was the day that Obed-Edom, by his life, said, calm down. God is still a good God. That was the message. God is a good God. And it encouraged the king to go back and seek God. He encouraged the king to go back and seek God. And when the king sought God, so Obed-Edom enhanced God's message by his lifestyle. All right? It's very important. Okay? And that's what we need to do now in this time, in this day that we're living in. God wants to use you and I to point people to God. Amen? You know, so that people can see that God is a good God. That goodness of God, that glory of God will be seen upon us. Amen. As we prepare and make a habitation where God's presence can dwell. That's what Obed-Edom did by his lifestyle. He prepared a place. And when the ark came suddenly, God found a resting place. You know, and that will be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18. Let's look at that. You know, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. It's important to allow God's thoughts to dwell in our hearts. Because, you know, what we dwell on in our hearts affects us. Let's read it. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Precious thoughts. How great is the sum of them. Verse 18. But some of them. Amen. Next verse. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. No, whatever things are true, and those are the things we should be dwelling on in this day and in this time. No, let's turn our Bibles. There's a scripture, Hebrews 11:15. Hebrews 11:15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. What your mind is full of, what we allow, correction, what we allow our minds to be full of, thought in your heart, your will is going to latch on it. So you have to be careful to make sure that the abundance is life. The abundance is to be spiritually minded. Amen. Irrespective of what is going on around. Is deliberate, is intentional. You know, it's something that we do intentionally so that our minds, as it were, Bible says it will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed. So we choose to think. Of course, that doesn't mean your thoughts will not go to what's going on around you, but you don't let your mind dwell on that. That's why he says that, you know, how precious are your thoughts. There's so much that God has made available through his word that our minds can be fixed on. Amen. In every situation, there's an antidote in the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when it looks like the fig tree does not blossom, you go back to the word. And you joy in the God of your salvation. Amen. And we fix our eyes on him. We set it's something you set, your affection on the things above. But it starts with your will. It is when the will is done that it now begins to influence the thoughts that you receive and then influence the feelings so that the affections are now in that direction. Amen? All right. So why is this important, this message important? We're living in a time where there's bad news. I mean, there's bad news constantly all over the place. Wars, rumors of wars, man's inhumanity to man, you know, unfairness, injustice, it's everywhere. Talk less of experience. I'm not talking about just looking around and, you know, and you see people doing things that are, you ask yourself, how can he do that? How can a person do that? No, so there's so much going on, but Satan is behind it. No, and he deliberately wants to weigh us down. And we must not allow ourselves to be weighed down. Remember David's 600 men, when they came back to Ziklag and found that their wives and their children had all been taken. The Bible says that they wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you imagine? How sad can you get to that point? But the Bible says, you know, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Brethren, God wants us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the goodness of God. Doesn't matter what the devil is doing. Encourage yourself in the glory that we can almost touch, that is right here with us. Amen. Encourage yourself in the infallibility of God's word. God's word cannot be changed. He's a God of integrity. He watches over the word to perform it. Dare to believe it, and the word will uphold you. I don't know what you're going through, but that's, you must allow that word to, you anchor yourself in that word. So we are not drawn away with the wind or run to the south because of the cloud. Amen. You know, jakwa, yeah. But I mean, you can jakwa for a good reason. I mean, it depends on what God is asking you to do, really. But just because people are doing that, then just because people are doing that does not mean that that's what God wants you to do. And that's what it's about. It's about, you know, walking the path that God wants you to walk, and not the path that the world is walking, because it's working for them. Because what's working for them may not work for you because of your relationship with God and the premium God has placed on you. Amen. It's very important, all right? So evil tidings abound, and it's important to think on those things that are an honorable. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Just and pure. You must be intentional. I must be intentional. There's so much around. You know, I found out that it's good to have my armor set on forgiveness. You must be set to forgive. Because, you know, you can't get to think on those things if you are in unforgiveness. So forgiveness opens the door into being able to fulfill the scripture. You know, you must forgive people, ask life for them, pray for them in tongues. And then you find that, yeah, I can think on things that are true. Let's read it. Finally, brethren. He's saying finally, because whatever he has said prior, this is the way to experience it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's an instruction. You are not supposed to think on things that are not virtuous. It's an instruction. It's not a suggestion. If it's not lovely, don't dwell on it. Now, you can see it and look at it, but then make sure that your mind is not dwelling on it. Amen. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 9. You've jumped to verse 10. Thank you. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard. It's very deliberate. And seen in me, do. So we are supposed to be doing what we have learned, what we have received, what we have heard, and what we have seen in our spiritual fathers. Thank God for the heritage that we have. Let's give God a super hand of fathers. Amen. Their sacrifice and love and dedication and totally sold out to God. Those are the things that you should do. And the God of peace in the midst of the storm will be with you. And then you can say, peace be still. And it will be still. Because the God of your fathers will back your word. Amen. I like that amen. It will back your word. Amen. Because you are fulfilling scripture. What you heard and receive. So it means that you can't just hear. You must go the extra step to make sure that what you heard in your head, you receive into your heart. Amen? And then you now latch onto it and learn and then be prepared to do so that when the opportunity comes, you simply do. Amen? So it's preparation before opportunity. Amen? So when the opportunity, just do it and you enter in. You know? And that's what God is doing. Because, you know, God is coming in suddenly. So there is a readiness, okay, that we need to have. All right? And so we have to be spiritually minded intentionally. All right? And an example came to me here, you know, two examples actually. Jesus in Luke chapter 8. That's the beautiful Pastor Brigger brought last Wednesday about what manner of man. They woke him up from sleep. Suddenly. But he was prepared. So everything was he had done it before he went to sleep. So when he woke up, his faith was red hot, alert, and active, and just spoke to it. And I think the essence of that message, and it's worth mentioning again, is that you and I can do it. That's the whole idea. God wants us to do it. You get up and in a situation, you speak to it. And it will bow. Amen. Because you are speaking in faith. Because you know it's coming from inside. So we must make sure that the inside, everything we're doing inside is deliberate and intentional. That's why you use that word, you know, learned and received and heard and seen. He's telling you that there's a bit of preparation involved. You know, prayer, the word, you know, that whole practical implementation, you know, of walking in the Spirit, so that we are watching and praying, so that there is no window for the devil to come and break through into our house, the house of our heart. There is faith there all the time. So from that faith, we can speak. From that faith, we can act when we need to act. Amen. And that's what God is saying. And we look at Lot's wife, Genesis 19, 24 to 26. Genesis 19. Sodom was in her heart. Yes. Yes. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. What? Brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Next verse. And overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which they grew up on the ground. Next verse. But his wife did what? Look back. There was a longing. That was where her longing was. She was mindful of that. Thank you, Prof. That was what her mind was full of. Oh, dear. You mean all of that is gone? And instantly, she became a pillar of salt. That was not our portion in Jesus' name. So it's important to see that we intentionally fill our hearts with you know, we don't allow what is outside to fill the inside, you know, of our hearts. We deliberately fill the inside of our hearts with God's word, with God's truth, with God's love, with God's light, with what God has said. Amen. With God's promises. Amen. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. If that is what you keep, out of that heart will flow forces of life that will recreate and change whatever is going on in circumstances. Our destiny is not outside. The Bible says, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. It is within. The kingdom of God is within. Amen? All right. Number two reason why it's important is effective time management at this time is crucial. It's so important to manage your time. For me to manage my time, it's critical. We must put God and obedience to spiritual law of life and love on the highest priority. You know, when forces in the military, I know I'm not as military as my daddy is, but in the military, I know that there are levels of alertness. You know, they use colors or they use numbers. Five. If the alertness is, if you put something on red alerts, you know that the highest priority is five. That means that they are ready to respond. Ready to respond. No, our
love for God and walking with God and our commitment to walking with God must be on red alert now. Because there is so much. Satan has shown and proven that he's going all the way. He is not holding back anything anymore. So the gloves are out. You know, so we ourselves now, we need to go all the way. It's not enough. It's not enough. We do extra. Yes. So that peradventure, that's the way, because that's what he's doing, if he has the way to do it. So we ourselves, we must go, we'll be on the highest priority. Okay? Look at John chapter 12, verse 50. That spiritual law must be 12:50. Spiritual law must be as the highest alert. The law is the law of life and love. And I know that his commandment is what? Life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore. That's why I said, peace be still. Whatsoever. It doesn't matter what I say. Then Mary, your brother will live again. Whatever I say, it is life everlasting. It is life everlasting. Anything I say, okay, bring me some food, is life everlasting. So we are deliberate and intentional. Say, whatever I speak is life. Even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So the commandment is life. Make sure that the life is there. Feel it there and keep it there. And as you expand it, you know, you feel it back again. Amen. You know, and keep walking in life, you know, keep watching and praying. We've been taught all those things. Lord, have mercy on me. Acknowledging Lord with thanksgiving, you know, asking life for people, praying for them, you know, in tongues, you know, and asking God for mercy to be faithful so I can keep walking in love. You know, you keep those things in the forefront of your mind so that the business of the day that you're doing does not take away from what is in your mind. No, it's practice. Amen. And God is helping us. Amen. The more we practice, the better we get at it. Look at the commandments of Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Next verse. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Mind, soul, so heart, will, mind, you know, is your mind. And then, you know, with your soul, is your emotions. You must love him with everything. Amen. And what's the next verse? 37. And the second is like unto it. The second, then next verse. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We know that in John 13, 34, this has been upgraded. And thou shalt love thy neighbor even as I have loved him. So now notice that you cannot love your neighbor the way God has loved him if you don't love God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. So that commandment is those two. The Bible says, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. So if we walk in that love by the life of God, we fulfill God's law. That is the priority that God wants us to have. Amen. So it's very important. And as we keep walking in that love, you see that the life of God now begins to flow into our mortal flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. I beg 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 10 and 11. Give me 10. Yes. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That's self-denial. You deny yourself, you know, to use time. You invest time, you know, in life and in fellowship with God, in the word and in prayer and in obedience, you know. So that's the denial. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Next verse. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So as we walk in life and in love, there's life in the mortal flesh. And it stops responding to ungodly stimuli. It stops responding to the world around you. And so you begin to live above the world. Amen. All right? And that's what God wants us. But of course, it's time management. You must make the time. We must never be that excuse that I'm too busy. You shoot it down. Shoot it down. Because you know it's a satanic strategy to rob us of the life of God or the benefit in walking the life of God. Amen. God wants us to look at Proverbs 22. The end result of walking in the love of God or the fruit of the Spirit is that we begin to see afar off, like Joseph did. You begin to have insight. I'm not talking about vision. No. I'm talking about, you know, God talking to you by revelation. By revelation. All right. You didn't get that scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man does what? Foreseeth the evil. He's seen afar off. And does what? Hideth himself. That's why the devil can get you. He can't get us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know why? Because wisdom is profitable to direct. So he sees afar off. But the simple, because they are not seen afar off, pass on. Not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For if these things, what things? He said it earlier. Bible says, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. It's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if these things or the love of God, if the love of God or these things be in you from choosing at the heart level to choosing at the action level, amen, and abound, there are two levels. They must be in you and then they must abound. They make you. Everybody say they make you. One more time. They make you. They make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. For he that lacketh these things, the fruit of the Spirit, is either blind or cannot see afar off and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's talking about the degree to which we allow the fruit to wither. We will not allow the fruit of the Spirit to wither in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. So he's saying that be intentional, maintain your life level, maintain your love level, you know, and build up and increase it. Let your best today be the baseline for your next move. Amen. That word that mommy gave us. Amen. So that we keep moving our best higher and higher, pressing on toward the mark, you know, of where Christ attained. No, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we see that. That's how Joseph saw ahead. That's how Paul said, I perceive this journey is going to be injurious or to some measure of damage. You know, by relationship with God and sensitivity, you know, he just perceived that there's something wrong. And then now we're going to pray to process it. Amen. All right. So we see that's very important. Look at Luke chapter 17, 26 to 33. I want to bring out something here by the help of the Holy Spirit. All right. As it was in the day of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. So we're talking about what's going on currently. Amen. Next verse. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, they had contracts, they attended business meetings, which are not wrong, all legitimate things. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Next verse. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. It's talking about living life. But having the things of this world on a higher priority than the things of God. That's what he's talking about. Next verse. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone and destroyed them all. So they were majoring on the minor things and were minoring on the major things. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. But that is a warning. Next verse. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And it's about to be revealed. Amen. It's this day. Next verse. All right. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff is in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise return back. Next verse. Remember Lot's wife. Next verse. That's what we got. Whosoever shall seek to save his life, this is the principle, shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. If you are willing, that's the word, to let the things of this life go in order to keep the things of the kingdom, the life and the love of God, the Bible says you will save it. The other one is not our portion. The way to save your life now is to make sure that God is front and center. So that, you know, spiritually momentous moments and events will not catch you in the wrong place at the wrong time. Very important. And that's the danger. You know, Satan uses legitimate things to steal our time. So it makes us relatively now unaware of destiny-defining moments. And so we're not ready. And we miss opportunities. And a very good example we see in Gideon's 300. Judges chapter 7. Verses 2 and 3. God did not write down anybody's name among the 300. He just decided that I need 300. So you and I can plug ourselves in. Amen. God did not exclude anybody. But this is where you begin to see how what we do or don't do can exclude you from what God is doing. What priority you and I have can fit us into God's plan or exclude. We will not be excluded in Jesus' name. All right. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are what? Too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Next verse. Now therefore, go to. How many did he have with him? 32,000. Yes, there were 32,000 at the beginning. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early or early from Mount Gilead. And the return of the people, 22,000. And there remained 10,000. These guys came to battle, but their heart was far. Because there was fear. The love of God was not there. So what was there was fear. So the first thing that God did was to exclude the people who are being dominated by fear. Are you dominated by fear? You need to walk on the love of God and let perfect love that you build up into your heart intentionally and deliberately cast out fear. It can. It does. That's the antidote for fear. Perfect love. You perfect the love of God by walking in life and walking the commandment of God diligently to the point where you're not afraid. Amen. And that's what this is two-thirds were cut off. 22,000 over 32,000 times 100 is 67%. That's the Bible says to Zechariah. Let's look at it in Zechariah. Chapter 13, verse 8-9. It's happening today. They were going to church. They were going for Bible study. They were going for fellowship. They were going for evangelism. But there was nothing being done in the heart. It's not the outside show. It's the inside work that God is talking about. And it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Next verse. And I will bring the third part, what? Through the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined. That's what you're going through right now. Amen. And I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my character, the love of God, the name of the Lord. Amen. And I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And shall say, the Lord is my God. Love is it. Love is what's separating the wheat, as it were, from the tares. Amen? All right. So we see that their hard choices betrayed them. All right? And next verse, Gideon chapter 4,
Sorry, I beg your pardon. The verse 4, Judges, verse 4. Judges 7, the next verse. And Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Notice Gideon did not know what the criterion was. So he couldn't even tell his family or the people that are there that he thinks should be there. He couldn't give everybody. This is a heart response that everybody has to be. It's the preparation of the hearts in man that will help you to answer the correct answer in the day that the Lord comes. Amen. All right. So it's the Lord that is going to do that work. Next verse, verse 5. Amen. And so he brought down the people onto the water. And Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth on the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bowed down upon his knees to drink. We know the rest of the story. You know that they bowed down on their knees to drink, you know, and they were disqualified. And people that lapped, they were watching. Or you can put it this way. They in whom the love of God abounded. Bible says, if you have these things in you and they abound. So the 10,000 had some measure of the love of God in them. But God was looking for the people in whom it abounded. The people in whom it abounded. Those are the people that made that 300. We'll make it in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what he did, you know. And they now formed Gideon's army. Look at verse 20 to 22. Right. Let's read together. And the three companies, they divided into three companies did what? Blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand to blow with them. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Next verse. And they stood every man where? In his place, round about the camp. And what happened? All the host ran and cried and fled. Next verse. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. They didn't fight. They didn't fight physical. They fought spiritual. Intercession. That trumpet there is intercession. It's intercession. Tongues. And they blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even all through the host. And the host fled to Belshitta in Zererath, and to the border of Abel Mehola unto Tabath. What is God saying? God is saying that you and I are destined to be part of Gideon's army. Gideon's army is from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. I had to review God's and pastor's weekly rhema, July 2007. That's 16 years ago. God's end time perfection armies. Gideon's is from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, you know, and they are the army that brings judgment upon Babylon. You know, but they are characterized by that wedding garment. You must have a wedding garment. You know, it's that wedding garment is a type of a heart of humility, you know. That the life of God that has been flowing in us has been able to walk on meekness and lowliness of heart. Amen. That heart, you know, with love there, because of your constant walk in love, that's that army. You know, and that breaking of the pitcher is the type of the life of God coming into the manifest in the mortal flesh. You know, with intercession. So we're talking about praying, united praying in the Spirit, with a foundation of the love of God. Amen. No, using the apostolic and prophetic word, you know, to make declarations that the enemy will be confounded and victory will be won. Bible says, if you go to Joel, Bible says nothing can escape them. It's the same. That's Joel's army. But you see that Gideon's is in the order of hundreds and it flows into Joel's. You know, now Joel is now coming, is the rest of the body, but this is zoned to beyond the rivers of Ethiopia.
the first of the first fruits of the glory and the kingdom of God is coming from here. And God has given you and I the opportunity to be a part of it. Therefore, we must watch out for things that drain life. There are some things that drain life out of us. And we must be careful to watch your time and how much time you give to us. Number one, social media. Social media. Use it. Don't let it use you. Don't let it use you. Be careful. You know, it's very important, you know, so that your mind remains, you are heaven bound. You are a pilgrim, so to speak, in your heart. Your heart is focused on the things above. Okay. Music, the worldly music, that is. You know, the music, young people in particular, you have to be careful. The melody or the rhythm is like the pipe. No, it's deceptive. You know, many times it's the melody and the rhythm that you like, but that's what attracts you. But what the devil wants to get into you is the words. It's the words. It's the words. Bible says that, you know, if you have a knife to your throat, if you like eating with a ruler, and put a knife to your throat, ask God to help you crucify that desire and walk away from it so that it doesn't take you back when you're trying to move forward. You are trying to move forward with action, and then things taking you back in your heart, and then you don't realize it. You know, you have to be wise, okay? Of course, then, books, ungodly books that we read. You know, again, particularly when people are older, they're wiser. You know, but still, you have to be careful. The kind of content that we feed on. Same thing with movies, you know, and leisure. What you do with your leisure is very important, you know. Then legitimate things, ministry. You know, don't serve the ministry more than the God of the ministry. Don't even serve the ministry more than the family that God gave you. It's very important, because what you're going to present, the first fruits of your ministry, are yourself and your family. It's very important. So your ministry, your work and your career is legitimate. No, I don't know about, I mean, I'm sure it applies to you. Sometimes I enjoy my work. Okay? And I'm enjoying it, and God is saying it's time to pray. And I say, I'll do it later. This stuff, I need to finish this stuff. I need to tie this thing down, you know. And God says, and then I miss the opportunity that I had to pray. And then I go through a chain of events. And I remember, and you told me. I don't know whether you've been there. It's only me. Don't worry. I understand. It's only me. You know, but I've come to understand that when God says, stop, at every opportunity. At every opportunity. When the opportunity comes, just stop. And I will come, I will start again. We will come back to it. But then we'll come back with more life, with more light, with more love. Yeah, you know, I'm better prepared to walk in divine love. So that when anything comes, I'm ready. I must not sacrifice my readiness on the altar of trying to meet a deadline. I've come, particularly when you're under pressure to meet a deadline. You know, you have to be careful to stay spiritual in the midst of all the work. Amen. All right. Okay. And of course, friends and social gatherings. That goes without saying. There's nobody that doesn't like to go and sit down and just be listening to music and see people and see family. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. But you just must make sure that it's not taken away, you know, from time you're supposed to be spending doing what God has asked you to do. And sometimes you have to decline. And sometimes you have, and they will, after, like Pastor said, it's very true. After a while, they will understand that he's a pastor. So, you know, he can't come, all those. They will just understand that,
That's how it is, you know, and all that. But when you are there, you are there, you are helpful and everything, you do what you need to do. And people, yeah, people are happy. And when you're not there, man, you must be busy, Pastor, I know, you know. And that's it. So we watch those things, but it's very important, okay, so that we are where we're supposed to be. How then do we do this? We've already shared it, and Pastor has taught us so well. But I just want to emphasize a few things. Number one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Arm ourselves with the determination to suffer self-denial. Self-denial is important. The willingness to suffer self-denial. You may not necessarily have to go through it sometimes, but the willingness must always be there. 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. It's an armor. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. It's a mindset. I can't think my own thoughts. It's an armor. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When you have armed yourself, it starts with your mind. Arm yourself with that mind. Okay? All right? Next verse. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. It's talking about action. But those lusts, you know, of course, lust of the flesh, lust of a part of life, they're in the flesh. So what he's saying is that I have set my will, and consequently, it has influenced my mind that I am going to, whenever I need to suffer self-denial, you know, or deny myself to spend time to do what God's going to do rather than continue what I'm enjoying, I do it, you know, and I do it, you know, understanding that that armor needs to be there all the time. And I do it in hope, because I've come to see that, you know, when you do it, you know, with faith, like that, there's a confession, there's I deny myself, you know, diligently, over talking, over eating, over sleeping, over enjoying it, to do the will of God, you know, knowing God gives me all things richly to enjoy in his time, in this lifetime, and also joy, peace, and long-suffering to endure self-denial. You know, so that joy and peace is there. So you are not suffering, really. You're just giving God an opportunity to further strengthen you. It's very important, because this world, you must take a break from this world. It's demanding. It wants to suck us in. So you have to take a break, and just take a break. Otherwise, Lord have mercy. So we give God that his tithe of 2.4 hours. Do Good Morning Jesus prayers every morning. Do a measure of your Bible reading, a measure of your confession before you leave the house. It's wake up time that will suffer. Sometimes you do it before Good Morning Jesus. You can even do it before Good Morning Jesus. So maybe after Good Morning Jesus, when you finish the first hour, if that's what you can afford of the time, you know, then you know from that time you're set to work, but you're ready. You put it there. You set it. So it's there. It's ready. And we teach our children to do that. Teach them how to practice it and get hang of it. And then you do an offering on top so that we can fulfill that beautiful practical implementation of work, watching and praying. Please give me that, because that's important. That's really the Bible, if you like. You know, it's a skeleton of everything we're supposed to do. You know, that's it. That's everything. Now we now build other things, other aspects of our lives around it. But this is what is carrying your frame. The frame of our lives. This is what's carrying it. And you make sure you do it diligently. Now, some days, you know, you have a bit more time. But plan ahead. You know, plan ahead. If some things you may have to do the night before. God accepts it. Of course, God accepts it. It shows that you yourself, you are looking for opportunity and you are looking for time and you are thinking ahead. You are being spiritually minded. So at any time, you have to wake up, you are there.
That's what Jesus did. That's how they could wake him up. And he said, "Woman, because you know every situation you have to look at the situation and see how can I still be spiritual in the midst of this situation? It can be done. It can be done." And that's it. The fear of God and humility opening up our hearts, opening up the heavens, life scriptures, Pauline prayers, love prayers, praying in the spirit, you know, Bible reading and study. In fact, sometimes, maybe a good number of times, what the word you need for the day is in that Bible reading. It's not Bible reading. So it's important to try to do it as soon as you can. You know, I don't leave it to the night. Then the day has already gone. You know, Lord have mercy. So God will have mercy. We do it in the day so that we can use it, okay? And then, you know, there's just, and as soon as there's a joy, peace, and long suffering that you have, that once the level goes down, you know it's time to pray. You know, because it was there at the beginning of the morning. You didn't imagine it. It was there. The presence is there. You know, okay, so very important that we do that, okay? Number two is motive. These are the heart level. Now look at Psalm 27, verse 4 to 9. Psalm 27. Because everything is with the heart, our heart motive. So motive for holiness. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what? To behold the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of his holiness, and to inquire, fellowship, no, acknowledging and inquiring in his temple. Next verse. Next verse. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Amen. It's an assurance, brethren. God will hide us in his pavilion. Because that's what we are seeking. The question is, what are we seeking God for? That's the key. He will, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He will set me upon a rock. Revelation for every situation. There will be revelation for every situation. So you know how to respond. You know what to do. Next verse. Next verse. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about. Victory. Amen. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Hallelujah. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Next verse. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Amen. Next verse. Amen. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart. It's very important, brethren. My heart, not my mouth. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Very important. That we are seeking God with our heart, not with our mouth. Amen. You said, seek my face. You didn't say, seek my hand. We seek the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. If you are seeking the hand, then you know it doesn't mean that we don't have needs that we pray about, but that's not our focus. That's not our priority. We seek his face. The things of the hand will come. Amen. Next verse. Moses says, show me your face. Hide not thy face far from me. This is the heart cry. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Amen. And he will bring us to that full salvation as we seek his face and walk in that path. Amen. That's in the First Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. He will shield us. Let's look at it. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 10. This is what he's doing in us. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves also unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That is that garment. Amen. All right. No, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace, which is what we need to get the life to the humble. Next verse. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen. Next verse. Casting, because there's grace available, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Next verse. Be sober. That's what we're talking about most of part of this message. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Next verse. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's how to resist him. Faith, you know, based on the word of God, contending for the faith, standing firm, you know, with the word of God, walking in the word, choosing the word in our hearts, first of all, and then subsequently in everything that we do, you know, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Next verse. But the God of all grace, that grace you tapped into with humility, it will take you through the valley of the shadow. You will make the valley of Baca a well. What he thought was supposed to stop you, God will turn it around, so that had he known, he would not have done it. Because of all grace. All grace. Meaning that there's all humility. Amen. All grace. Who has called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. Amen. In Nigeria, we understand settle. God will settle you. Amen. Settle us with the glory. The borrowed anointing, and then as we grow, following our fathers, the fullness, inheriting the full glory. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. And fine-tune those things that need to be fine-tuned. Don't condemn yourself. He has all grace available. So that having, like Joseph, he suffered a while from 17 to 39. Is a while. And then from 39 to 110, he spent his days in pleasure and his years in prosperity. Whatever you're going through now is for a time, suffered a while. There is a longing only you can feel, a raging tempest only you can still. My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I know. Drink from the river that flows before your throne. There is a longing. There is a longing. Sing it to him. Only you can feel a raging tempest.
Only you can still.
Only you can still.
My soul is thirsty, Lord.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I'm known.
Drink from the river.
Drink from the river. That flows before your throne.
Take me deeper.
Take me deeper.
Deeper
in love with you.
Jesus, hold me close.
Oh, Jesus, hold me close in your embrace.
Take me deeper.
Lord, take me deeper. Than I've ever been before.
I just want
to love you more and more.
Love you more and more.
How I long
to be deep. deeper in love.
Sunrise to sunrise.
Sunrise to sunrise. Lord,
I will seek your face.
Drawn by the Spirit.
Drawn by the Spirit.
To the promise.
To the promise of your grace.
My heart has found.
My heart has found in you a hope that will abide.
Here in your presence.
Here in your presence. Forever satisfied.
Take me, Lord.
Take me deeper.
Deeper
in love with you.
Jesus, hold me close.
Lord Jesus, hold me close.
Hold me
in
close.
Your embrace.
Take me deeper.
Take me deeper. Deeper than I've ever been before.
I just want to
love you more and more.
How I long,
yes, I
long
to be deeper in love.
Let's raise up our right hand unto the Lord. It's a sign that we need him. And put our left hand upon our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that it is your will for me to hold me in your holy embrace, in the holiest of all. And so, Father, I ask for fresh mercy to enable me to seek you with all of my heart, to desire truth in the inward parts, and to diligently keep the law of the Spirit of life and love, that as I walk with you day by day, by your help, you will strengthen me and you will grant me all grace that will enable me to endure suffering as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ and come into the place where you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle me in the fullness of the glory that is imminent. Have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be diligent, leaving no loopholes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Mengado papangedeka rompe kekelan remba bebebeka japreketo rongede robo bobo robo bobo kakatuma rokasad ronge benele bari kakatuma runge de peperia. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time to pray for our healing. If you have a need, exercise your faith. Faith in the grace of God. It's by that grace that we're saved through faith. Let's tap into it. Just mention it in your heart or touch that area if it's a pain. Heavenly Father, thank you because healing is the children's bread. Thank you because it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Lord, thank you, Father, because Lord, where Lord, you have sent your word, Lord, and you have ministered to us and delivered us from every destruction. So, Father, we come to send the word of healing, Lord, the word of deliverance, Lord, the word of provision, Lord, for every need, Lord, to every heart that is trusting and believing you at this time. We say that need is met in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit that is enforcing lack and infirmity, that is enforcing sickness, worry, anxiety. We break your hold in the name of Jesus. We say, be thou made whole, for the Son of God has set you free, and you are free indeed by his grace. In Jesus' name, amen.